The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and prayed. Print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I should read from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Let's start off with one of those little things that you might not have known, but are kind of important to trivia games. Five traits you didn't know you inherit from mom, and four you inherit from dad. Here's why men can't blame their mothers for the receding hairlines anymore. Genetic inheritance. Do you have your mom's butt nose? Did your dad pass on the curse of sneezing in bright sunlight? And where did your baby's red curly hair from when there aren't any redhead in your family for generations? These questions may sound simple, but the answers get complicated fast. Why? Because the science of genetic inheritance is complicated, says Dawn Allen, a licensed genetic counselor and director of genetic counseling graduate program at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center. It's nearly impossible to tease out exactly where each of your traits come from, she explains. Most traits are influenced by many different genes, and you inherit some from each parent. Plus, they're the influence your environment plays. Just because you have a gene for a certain trait doesn't always mean you'll end up with it, she adds. How you inherit traits. Still, it's fun to ask those questions. While there aren't many detailed answers, there are a few basic things genetics can tell you about traits you inherit from your mom and those you got from your dad, Elaine says. But first, you need to know how inheritance works. There are three main ways you can inherit traits from your parents, she says. First is through a dominant gene. If you inherit a dominant gene, you will develop that trait. Take eye color, for example. If either your parents have brown eyes, you likely will have brown eyes, as this is the dominant trait. Second is through a recessive gene. Both parents have the recessive gene for you to have that trait. For instance, if you have blue eyes, then both of your parents must carry a gene for blue eyes, even if their eye color isn't blue. Lastly, there are X-linked traits, which are found only on X chromosome and are passed to the mother. Your ability to lose weight. There are two types of fat in your body, good brown fat, which increases your metabolism and helps you maintain a healthy weight, and bad white fat, which can cause obesity and disease if you have too much of it. Everyone has some of each type, but how much brown fat you have, and therefore how high your metabolism, may be inherited from your mom, according to this study published in Nature Communications. How easily you gain weight. However, my mom may be helping you out with the brown fat. You can blame your dad for your white fat. The Nature Communications study found how much fat you store, particularly around your organs, may be partly determined by genes passed down from your father, the researchers said. Genetics aren't destiny when it comes to your weight. Your lifestyle choices play an even bigger part. Your ability to focus. If your mother has lower levels of serotonin, a brain chemical linked to mood, then you're more likely to develop attention deficit hyperactivity disorder later in life, according to a study published in JAMA Psychiatry. The genes passed down from mom to kid that impact serotonin production also seem to influence your ability to focus. You hit puberty early. Puberty and all the fun milestones that come along with it, like acne, cracking voices, or getting your period while wearing white shorts, is a rite of passage many children go through on their way to becoming an adult. Both parents' genetics play a part in when exactly you start the big change. But if you started puberty early, before age 8 in girls and 9 in boys, that may date to a gene you inherit from your father, according to a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Specifically, they identified that a genetic mutation leads to a type of premature puberty, meaning that if you have it, you'll have to deal with all that stuff before any of your friends. Your laugh lines. How well you age and how much you show is determined on cellular level by the accumulation of damage over your lifetime from your mitochondrial DNA, genes you only get from your mom. Environmental factors like sun exposure, smoking, and an unhealthy diet can cause mtDNA damage, but some of the damage can be inherited from your mother, according to the study published in Nature. The more mtDNA with mutations you inherit from your mother, the faster you age and the more it will show in traits like wrinkles and gray hair. Yuck. Your mood. Mothers can influence your mood in many ways, and it's not just by grounding you or serving broccoli 3 times a week. The structure of part of your brain known as the corticolimbic system which controls emotional regulation and plays a role in mood disorders like depression, is more likely to be passed down from mothers to daughters than from mothers to sons or from fathers to children of either gender, according to a study established in the Journal of Neuroscience. This may mean that daughters at least partly inherit their moods from their mothers. The genders of your children. Obviously, the genes from you and your spouse determine the gender of your children. But did you know that which gender genes you pass on may be inherited from your father? This is how it works. A man with many brothers is more likely to have sons, while a man with many sisters is more likely to have daughters, according to a study published in Evolutionary Biology. Your memory. It has been known for some time that a family's history of Alzheimer's disease significantly increases the risk for developing the illness. But a new study, published in Biological Psychiatry, found that the genetic risk comes primarily from your mother. Alzheimer's disease is the most common cause of dementia later in life, affecting nearly 6 million people in America alone. So it's important to know what factors increase your risk, including your mother's medical history, so you can start taking steps to protect your brain health now, the researchers noted. Your fertility. A woman's fertility may be impacted by a gene she inherited from her father, according to a study published in Science. In a normal egg cell, the part of the cell called the centrioles is eliminated as part of the natural development process. However, the centrioles aren't eliminated, often due to a genetic dysfunction passed on by her dad, and the woman is sterile, researchers explained. Your hairline. You may have heard that how and when a man loses his hair is due to an inherited trait from his mom's side. However, a study published in PLOS Genetics of over 55,000 men has proved this to be a myth. Researchers found that 287 independent genetic singles that were linked to male pattern baldness hair loss, while 40 were only found in the X chromosome, meaning they were inherited on the maternal side, the rest were scattered throughout DNA inherited from both parents. Interestingly, some genes associated with hair loss also seem to be associated with an increased risk for heart disease in men. While some traits are inherited, others are learned. By the way, my apologies, I forgot to wish everyone a happy and very healthy New Year. So we're doing Reader's Digest, and this is a letter from the starting off of Reader's Digest, Seeing Red. In college, I wrote an essay about Christmas Eve. I wanted to capture the spirit of this special night for my family. I got an A, but even better was this comment from my professor. I believe you have found an avocation. I had to look up avocation, according to Merriam-Webster. It means a subordinate occupation pursued in addition to one's vocation, especially for enjoyment, hobby. It can also mean customary employment or vocation, which I'm not sure which way the professor meant it, but either way, he turned out to be right. My essay described our traditions, chili, church, two presents, pajamas, plus a gift of our choosing. A lot of it was about my Aunt Bud, the matriarch of my mom's family. We were lucky we lived closest, so she spent holidays at our house. Sadly, she's gone now. Like so many wonderful spirits, she died too young, just after she retired with big plans for an easy life. But she's not really gone. She visits us all often, in the form of a cardinal, her favorite bird, and one that actually looks alike of her, round and bossy. One June day, I called my mom. "What you doing?" I asked. "Sitting here looking at Buddy's tree," she said, referring to the Arborvita tree of life the funeral home had sent home with us. It was about a foot tall when my dad planted it. Today it towers over the roof line. "There are cardinals all over it," Mom said. "I've never seen so many." I wasn't surprised. "Mom, you know what day it is, right?" I said, "It's Aunt Bud's birthday." So of course she had come to visit with all of her friends. In this issue, we've collected inspiring stories about unusual events that happened around the holidays. This year, we focus on people who extended a kindness that made forever difference in someone's life. Angels in action, we call them. I hope your angels visited you this holiday season. Letters to the editor. Speaking fluent Flatbush. I'm sorry. Speaking fluent Fatherlish. I was 5 years old, and my dad wasn't as affectionate as my mom. I believe that he didn't love me as much. One night, my bedroom door opened just a bit. My dad whispered, "Johnny, are you awake?" Feigning sleep, I didn't answer. I felt his hand on my cheek and a kiss on my forehead. He whispered, "I love you, son." It was his way of speaking fatherlish. Johnny Smith, Lake of the Woods, Virginia. How to be slightly funnier. In a church meeting, someone announced that our thrift store had received a dozen urns for cremation ashes, without thinking, I said, I'm dying to get one. Dead silence. I was embarrassed about having said that until this article came out. David Smith, Fort Mill, South Carolina. The new truth about cholesterol. After reading how we don't have to avoid eggs to keep cholesterol down in October, I remember telling my doctor my 86-year-old mother had eaten 2 soft-boiled eggs every morning since she was 16 and read without glasses and walked without a cane. Stunned, he advised me to keep eating eggs. My mother, who is now 96-year-old, still reads without glasses and walks without a cane. EP via RD.com. If your block could talk. In your list of all the ways the United States Postal Service has delivered mail via ski, boat, stagecoach, roller skate, motorcycle, Segway, toboggan, etc., you missed one. St. Petersburg, Florida is one of the 3 cities in the United States where mail is still delivered by bicycle. Life in these United States. I laughed out loud when I read about the boy who told his parents he couldn't wear a Spider-Man costume to get a haircut because then they would know he was Spider-Man. I sent a photo of the page to my son and asked how his own 5-year-old Spider-Man was doing. We had a good laugh about it. That's something I have always loved about Reader's Digest. You know how to get a conversation started. The reunion of a lifetime. We met and fell deeply in love during our freshman year in college. Like Donna in the Everyday Miracle story, Carol got pregnant. We married with our parents' blessings and had a beautiful son. We went on to have 5 children. Both of us earned advanced degrees. Carol became a teacher, and I enjoyed careers as an engineer, architect, contractor, and developer. Next month, we will celebrate our 63rd anniversary, surrounded by our loving children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Our lives together couldn't have turned out any better for us. Finding my funny. Your story about Lonnie Love staying true to herself in her comedy routine instead of doing what the teacher wanted touched me. I was happy she was able to break a stereotype that someone else thought she should fit. I also grew up in Detroit and know how harmful stereotypes can be. The best dessert in every state. I have to tell you how much fun we had with this story. I've been choosing one state a week, baking the featured dessert for my tennis pals. They then guess which state it's from. Extra desserts go to my neighbors. Everyone waits for this week's treat. The hardest one for me to make was Ohio's Buckeye Peanut Butter Balls, since I'm a Michigan Wolverine. Thanks for the idea. She ought to be happy this year since Michigan beat Ohio State. Minor miracles. There's good in the world and we know it. Mostly because our readers remind us every day. Has something happened for you that was so incredible it can't be considered short of a miracle? Is there a miracle worker in your life who makes everything better? If you're convinced you have received a little help from above, we'd love to hear about it. Submit your miracle story, 100 words or fewer, and see terms at rd.com/miracles. We might share it with our readers on Reader's Digest or on rd.com. Everyday Heroes, Braving the Waters. A helicopter pilot responds to a once-in-a-lifetime flood and a once-in-a-lifetime rescue. And there's a picture of a young man with a very attractive young woman sitting in the cockpit of his helicopter, standing right next to it. And the quote is, I've never seen anything like that, not in real life, a witness said of Boyer's and Among's heroics. Joel Byers and his fiancée, Melody Among, were headed home from the Nashville airport after she learned her helicopter pilot's license when he received a frantic call from a stranger in Pennsylvania. The caller told Boyers that her brother and his 2 daughters are trapped on their roof in Waverly, 60 miles from Nashville. They were surrounded by rising floodwaters caused by August record-shattering rains and didn't think they would survive. Desperate, the caller had Googled Nashville helicopters, and Boyer's company, Helistar Aviation, was the first to pop up. She pleaded, "Could Gores please, please rescue her loved ones?" Boyer's 41 looked west toward Waverly and saw the storm clouds. "Ma'am," he said, "no one would fly in this weather, and for good reason." But even before he finished the sentence, Boyer's knew they would go back up. "I've got a daughter myself," Boyer says. "I told the woman I'd see what I can see." He put his brother's address into his phone. Then he and Among, 30, drove back to the airport. Soon they were in the air, unprepared for what they were about to see in Waverly. "As soon as I popped over the ridge, there was nothing but tan, raging water below me. There were 2 houses on fire, cars and trees, tons of debris. Any way debris could get caught, it was. No one was going to be able to swim in that. Instead, people came to anything that didn't move. Rods, poles, trees. The flooding, which would eventually claim 20 lives and destroy more than 270 homes, also took out cell phone service, meaning Boyers couldn't use his phone to pinpoint the house he was looking for. He flew on anyway, maybe he'd get lucky. As the Boyers steered among began searching for people stranded atop roofs, bridges, anywhere Boyers could land his chopper and get them on board. One rescued man pointed to a teenager he'd seen clinging to a tree. The teen, soaking wet and exhausted, was barely out of the water. One hand clutched a tree limb, the other a dog she'd rescued earlier, while both were being swept away in the current. Since there was no place for Boyers to land, he lowered the copter until it hovered just above the waterline. The rescued man leaped out and waded to the tree, where he helped the teen and the dog to the helicopter. Having been a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and having flown in bad weather with water and rain and standing water, that is the most visually difficult thing to possibly do, to hover when because the wind blows one way, the water moves the other, there's no horizon. This guy must be a pretty darn good pilot. She was pretty shaken up, Boyer says of the teen. With the man staying behind to look for an older woman he knew was nearby, Boyer's carefully lifted off. Maneuvering around the tree and power lines, he dropped off the teen and the dog in a patch of land across the street. Then he and Among were back in the air. At one point, they spotted four people on the rooftop of a farm supply store. They had been there for 2 hours. Jeannie Rice Cranford, who lives nearby, told the Associated Press. She and others watched from dry land as Boyer's helicopter hovered over the victims. Because the pitch roof offered no place for him to land, he had to attempt a perilous balancing act by setting only one skid down while praying his rotor didn't hit the roof. Suddenly there was a gust of wind and the helicopter shifted, Rice Cranford says. We all held our breath. Boyers regained control of the copter. Because it could seat only four, he ferried victims one at a time to nearby railroad tracks. Boyers and Among's mission ended up 90 minutes after it began when professional rescue choppers showed up. It was good timing. Boyers and Among were almost out of fuel after rescuing 17 people. As for the woman who originally contracted Boyers, she called back to say that her brother and his daughters had also been saved. Though the experience was harrowing, Boyers did make this confession to the AP. I don't want to lie. It was almost a little fun. As a pilot, I can tell you, that kind of flying is what makes it all worthwhile. And he's got to admit, that showed his skill. Believe me, the adrenaline really pumps when that happens. Kindness on auto. Christmas 2020 was shaping up to be a heartbreaker for Melanie Lee. A few weeks early, her 33-year-old son had lost his battle with a long illness. Then the transmission on her 2000 Chevrolet Tahoe conked out. She had no means of paying for it to be fixed. When it broke down, I broke down, Lee told CNN. Now I don't have any baby. Now I don't have my baby. Now I don't have transportation. How am I supposed to stay active in my grandchildren's lives? Enter Elliot Middleton, 38, the owner of a barbecue restaurant and former auto mechanic who, in his free time, repairs and gives away used cars. He'd heard about Lee's predicament from her nephew, Frank McClary, the mayor of Andrews, South Carolina, population 3,000. On Christmas morning, Middleton showed up unannounced at Lee's home with a gift, a white 1993 Oldsmobile. I had no idea what was going on, said Lee. He handed me the keys and didn't ask for anything. Once again, she's able to pick up her granddaughter from school and take them to dance class. I got my freedom back. The idea for the used car giveaway came to Middleton a year earlier during the food drive he'd organized. Many of those who lined up for a meal walked up to 4 miles to get there because they didn't have cars. Cars are a lifetime in this part of South Carolina, Middleton told CBS. There's no public transportation, no Ubers, no taxis to take people to in job interviews, doctor's appointments, even food shopping. So he posted on Facebook an offer to trade slabs of his restaurant's specially barbecued ribs for broken-down vehicles. Since then, friends and strangers have dropped off more than 100 cars in various state of disrepair. Many sit in Middleton's yards waiting to be patched up and donated, usually to those he's heard about through word of mouth. It's a list of names that grows daily. People think Ellie is an angel, Mayor McClary towards the Washington Post, and I do too. Life in these United States. My sister sent me a frantic text. Help, any suggestions? I'm almost ready to resort to a hammer. Attached was a photo of a wine bottle with a broken cork, a piece of which was firmly lodged in the neck of the bottle. I texted back. An optimist would say the cork is half out. She replied, that's what the hammer's for. That's what the hammer's for. On New Year's Eve, my husband and I were seeing the old year out with another couple. Jessica was a good friend but a bad gossip, and that night was no different except she kept glancing at her watch. The later it got, the faster she talked. Finally, at 3 minutes before midnight, she blurted, "I have to tell you this quickly because my New Year's resolution is to stop talking about other people." Love it on Christmas. Day when a label on a present says from Mom and Dad, and you just know that Dad has absolutely no idea what's inside. One of my boys had a habit of never accepting blame for anything. I mean anything. Once when he was a toddler, he had an accident in his pants. He pointed to his brother and shouted, "Bark did it." A classmate was examining my driver's license. She seemed surprised when she noticed it indicated I was an organ donor. So much so that she asked, "Which organ did you donate?" On the phone with my mom, "What's your secret to 55 years of marriage?" "Mom, we never hated each other on the same day." That's great. I love that. Before cell phones, I was in Manhattan to visit my brother, stopping at a payphone to call him. I reached in my wallet for a scrap of paper with his number on it. When I got to his place, he greeted with me, "So you lost your wallet?" A woman had just called him, saying she had found the wallet with his phone number inside. She was sitting in a bar and gave him the address. I hurried over, found my hero. "May I buy you a drink?" he asked. "Oh, that's sweet," she said, handing me my wallet. "But you don't have enough money." My wife just came out of nowhere and said, "You weren't even listening, were you? Like, bro, that's a really weird way to start a conversation." The sweet bird of youth has arthritis. People on Reddit recall the moment they realized, "Hey, I'm no longer young. I can go through this one." "But I went through the house yelling to the kids, 'When you leave a roof, when you leave a room, turn the light off.' When I dislocated my jaw, yawning. When sons of football players I watched grow up got drafted into the NFL. As I left a bar and waited outside for my husband to come out, I thought we're the oldest people here by 10 years at least. Then to my relief, I saw an old guy in the crowd. Then to my horror, I realized the old guy was my husband. We found a fix. 5 tricks to improve your life. Don't fall into the wrong airline fare bucket. Did you know that airlines subdivide tickets in each seating class into fare buckets? This means a finite number of each class sell at a lower price and the rest are set at a higher price. So when buying multiple tickets, you might see a price hike for all of them. It means you maxed out the cheaper fare bucket, so all the tickets in your virtual card automatically jump to the price of your bucket. Avoid this by purchasing tickets one at a time. This way, if you see the price jump, you're stuck paying the higher fare for only some of the seats. Give yourself an early holiday present. Cursing the fool who put away last year's decorations, you, and swearing this time you were different as you slide hefty totes down the attic ladder. An easy way to stay organized is to use holiday-colored bins. Ornaments and mistletoe go in red and green tubs, skeletons, cobwebs, and orange and black baskets, and plastic eggs in purple and pink, etc. That way you'll know at a glance which tub to grab. Number 3, raise your iPhone's volume, then the roof. In need of a bit of musical ambience with nary a speaker in sight? Instead of just putting your phone's internal speaker volume way up, go to Settings, Music, EQ, Late Night. It automatically lowers the level of sound and amps up the quieter ones, making the volume about 3 times louder than usual, much better than the old phone in a cup trick. 2 recipes, 1 dough. Cousin Dancing wants cookies. Aunt Lorraine wants pie. You want to minimize oven traffic and bake time. Here's a sweet solution. Line your pie pan with a roll of cookie dough instead of pie crust, and bake off as the roll instructs. Once the cookie crust cools, fill it with your favorite no-bake filling. Clean your coffee grinder with Cheerios. If you use your coffee grinder to crush spices as well as coffee beans, you wind up making your Java with a dash of peppercorn. Or maybe you just don't like mixing your Arabica with your Robusta. If flavors linger, possess a handful of Cheerios for 30 seconds. It's a total palate cleanser, without even so much as a honey nut aftertaste. The food on your plate. I am broccoli. Let's meet in the middle. In March 1990, President George H.W. Bush admitted to a reporter that he hated so much he had me banned from Air Force One. The statement prompted the United Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Association to deliver 3 cases of me, plus a bouquet of florets, to the White House a few weeks later. The delivery represented about 20,000 pounds of meat that was donated to local food banks. The boxes at the White House included a few new recipes in hopes of changing the president's mind. They didn't. I've been a political vegetable, as one reporter put it, ever since playing the metaphorical role of the things that people don't want in the GOP's messaging around affordable health care, among other issues. President Barack Obama sealed my fate on the left side of the American crudite plate when he called me his favorite vegetable in 2013. But the reality is, as much as you like to complain, you do eat quite a bit of me. I'm the 10th most consumed vegetable in the U.S. In 2020, the average American ate nearly 6 pounds of meat. But I really am more of a we. I am the same spice, same species as cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, collard greens, cabbage, kale, Chinese broccoli, and kohlrabi. Think of us in dog terms. A Great Dane and a Chihuahua are the same species, just bred for different qualities. We Brassicea polydaris are the same. Our variants have been through selective breeding, have been chosen to accentuate different features of the same plant, in the same way that a bulldog was bred to have extra wrinkly skin and a greyhound to be lean and lithe. Broccoli was selected specifically for its stem and flower buds. All those little green balls that make up the florets are tiny buds waiting to open into flowers. The thick stalk is the stem of the plant, and in broccoli it's nice and fleshy, albeit a little tough on the outside. Breed the same plant and instead select for a single large bud at the top of the stalk, and you get cabbage. If you breed for really nice tender leaves, you get kale or collards. Breeding for pronounced lateral buds, those buds in the cross-section of my stem, result in Brussels sprouts, which grow like little cabbages up and down the stalk. Breed solely for the fleshiest, juicy stalk, and you get kohlrabi. Also, various smell, worse with cabbage and Brussels sprouts, though we all have it, is thanks to chemical compounds, those glucosinolates. They are thought to be protective against cancer and inflammatory diseases, but because they contain the element sulfur, they're also responsible for that farty smell that has likely made me butt out of many political jokes. Glucosinolates are part of my plant defense system. They're not bad smelling or better if you leave me alone, but when you damage my cells, they break down and release their funk. The more you release increased cell damage, the more you get these smells. The more you chop me, the more I'll smell. Same with cooking me slowly at a low temp for a long time. The key to avoiding that is fast cooking, blanching me by plunging me into boiling water, roasting me at high heat, hotter than 450 degrees, or charring me over hot coals. That high heat shuts down the conversion of the glucosinolates into the pungent smells, reducing the stink output. One last piece of advice for handling me in the kitchen. Don't waste my stem. Sometimes the skin on my stem is tough, but once trimmed or lightly peeled, the stem itself is delicious. Crisp, refreshing, and mild. It can be served raw in a salad, cut my stem down to pieces the size of my florets, to use all of me. Because while I may be a political vegetable, the left and right can likely come together over making the most of what we've got. Parmesan roasted broccoli. Pre-oven to 425, trim the stalks of 2 8-ounce broccoli crowns, removing any tough or dried exterior. Then cut the crowns into quarters from top to bottom. Drizzle with 3 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil. Sprinkle all over to taste with salt, freshly ground black pepper, and red pepper flakes. Arrange broccoli on a parchment-lined rimmed baking sheet. Then roast until crisp tender for 10 to 12 minutes. Meanwhile, thinly slice 4 medium garlic cloves and toss with 1 teaspoon olive oil. Sprinkle the broccoli with garlic and roast garlic and just beginning to turn golden around the edges, about 5 minutes. Sprinkle broccoli all over with 2 tablespoons of freshly grated Parmigiano Reggiano cheese and roast until cheese is melted and broccoli stalks are tender, 2 to 4 minutes. Toss with 1 teaspoon of freshly grated lemon zest and serve. And with that, we roll over to Consumer Reports. Find it for free credit score access. What's at stake? Credit scores matter a lot. Designed to help financial companies decide whether to lend consumers money and at what interest rates, they can mean the difference between getting an affordable mortgage and being denied. They're also routinely used by insurance companies to set policy prices by landlords to screen potential tenants. Unfortunately, consumers don't have legal right to see this crucial information for themselves free of charge, although they do have the right with regard to credit reports, the raw data on which credit scores are based. As a result, many resort to accessing their scores through credit score apps. One such app provider, Credit Karma, claims to have 110 million users, including nearly half of all millennials. How CR has your back? A new CR study, however, has found that credit score apps come with a major drawback. They barrage users with heavy-handed marketing pitches for other financial products that may not be in the user's best interest. They collect reams of personal information about users, which they use to market products and services to users. And many of the five apps studied don't even provide the kind of credit scores that lenders use to make decisions about you. So CR is asking Congress to give consumers free access to real credit scores, which would eliminate the need for these services. What you can do, go to cr.org/creditscore1221 to sign our petition urging Congress to pass legislation making credit scores free, easily accessed, and secure. And letters to the editor, feedback. Your October 2021 article, The Big Problem with Plastic, revealed where the plastic we buy and recycle actually ends up and how to use less of it. Readers shared their views and hope for a cleaner future. After reading your report, our family decided to reduce our plastic uses. We have started using aluminum soda cans and refillable aluminum soap dispensers. We use corn-based trash bags instead of plastic. We are paying more attention to what gets tossed in the recycling bin. Does it have a one or two in the triangle? You can imagine my surprise when I went to toss a plastic coffee creamer bottle in the bin. Yep, it had a one, but on the side of the bottle in small print, it said the bottle was not recyclable unless the label was removed. It is clear why many people do not recycle. The requirements are not clear, and most people do not read the fine print. Why should we have to? Corporate America, wake up. The onus is on all of us. Why make it so hard? Wow, what an informative article. I believe that single-stream recycling is a fraud. It seems that common sense should tell us that separating so many items is impossible. In order to make recycling feasible, the public will have to put more energy into the process. In the 1970s, my mother and I would go to the nearby town that had bins for individual recyclables. We hauled our clean metal cans, aluminum, paper, cardboard, plastic, and glass. But then the city closed it because it was costing too much. There must be a way to finance recycling. Most of all, we need to educate every consumer about using plastic. When I hear, "Is plastic okay at checkouts?" I want to scream, "No. Plastic is not okay. Bring your own bags." And manufacturers should give clear instructions in what can be recycled and what cannot. Your illuminating but depressing article about non-recycling most plastics. I gave up meat 35 years ago. I gave up recreational travel a decade ago. I am not going to give up convenience clamshell package of grocery foods. The country should ban hard-to-recycle plastic so that everything remaining can go into one recycling stream. If other plastics are essential for certain purposes, require that they be a distinct color so that they can easily be sorted out. For a long time, I have felt guilty about buying yogurt because the containers aren't always recyclable. Your article spurred me to look up how many I own yogurt and to write a letter to the maker of the yogurt I usually buy, a Greek yogurt sold in Aldi. Complaining about the sale of many of their products in recyclable containers, thank you for the kick in the butt. I needed it. As a chemical engineer who worked in the petrochemical industry and in pyrolysis decomposition research, I think the path to solving the crisis is by returning the plastic to the petrochemical plants where it was hatched. Drop the confusing numbers, stop the wasteful scrubbing to remove food waste, take all waste plastic, blend it, shred it, pelletize it, and then feed it into existing refinery food cookers, where it will be pyrolyzed at high temperature, converting the waste plastic back into a mix of gas, oil, and petroleum coke. Hundreds of pounds of waste plastic recycled this way into a refinery backs out a barrel of crude oil, reducing greenhouse gas emissions with each barrel saved. Couch cushions, tires, clothing, plastic bottles, plastic bags, clean or dirty, it doesn't matter. The petrochemical companies in joint venture with waste management companies should already be doing this. If they can't get on board that a simple regulation forcing them to buy back 1 pound of plastic for every pound of plastic they sell, or encourage them to have their engineers innovate their own possible solutions. Editor's note. So far, advanced recycling techniques such as pyrolysis haven't proved to be economical feasible on a large scale, according to the experts we consulted. And while pyrolysis can certainly generate energy, some research suggests it may emit an amount of greenhouse gas that's similar to what landfilling emits. Plus, new plastic production will still generate significant emissions and toxic chemicals. That said, many experts agree that economic incentives that require producers to take responsibility for all the plastic they make certainly would help solve the plastic waste problem. Bread basics. Your article about bread that's really good for you mentioned making your own bread, but there is another great option. Many states have a cottage food law that allows small entrepreneurs to take food for sale in their own kitchens. My best friend makes very healthy homemade bread, and it's sold at a local farmer's market. It's a great alternative to store-bought bread. I pay for a weekly deliver of a fresh loaf, which I slice and keep in the freezer so that I have bread with the freshest ingredients and no additives. So check around your local community and see if someone is selling homemade bread. What happened to rye bread? I kept thinking that I would see some data on it. Rye is a grain, and I was heard that one is healthier than white or whole wheat breads. For the sake of comparison, we rated mostly wheat breads for our October article, and many rye and pumpernickel sandwich breads on the market aren't 100% whole grain. They're made mostly of white wheat flour with some rye flour mixed in. Like white bread, they tend to be low in fiber, just a gram per slice. You can look for what's sometimes called fitness bread. These are 100% whole grain rye. They're very dark, dense, and moist, and are typically sold in packages that contain just a few slices. Winter cleaning tips. I read your Insights article, Choose the Great Humidifier for Winter, in the October 2021 issue. I feel that it should be mentioned that the water reservoir must be cleaned regularly, including changing the water in the reservoir tank every day or two, to help prevent mold and or bacterial growth. Not doing this could lead to pathogens being aerosolized by the humidifier to perhaps cause health problems. Editor's note, you're right. Regular cleaning is a very important part of humidifier use. On page 20 of this issue, which we'll look at later, you'll find a deeper dive into the CR's humidifier testing and how to keep yours clean in three easy steps. Chain reaction. Cleaning up fast food. Together, a better world together, October 2021. What an eye-opener. Your article mentioned it was the latest chain reaction reporting. How often do you publish it? For the past this year, CR and five other consumer advocacy groups have published an annual chain reaction report, which grades national fat food and casual, fast casual sit-down chains on antibiotics policies and practices. To see these reports, including the most recent, Chain Reaction 6, go to advocacy.consumerreports.org and search for Chain Reaction. Your favorite pandemic purchases revealed. Many of us bought a few things to make life easier during the COVID-19 pandemic, from appliances to cars. So CR asked what was your favorite purchase was in the past 18 months. So for more smart buys to make in the coming months, we'll take a look at later on and we'll take a look at the top picks. The number of comments, television was the most popular, auto was second, air fryer, refrigerator, computer, washer, dishwasher, air purifier, lawn, tractor, mower, vacuum, sofa, recliner, dryer, oven, range, and TV streaming devices. What we're testing in our labs. In our 63 labs, we are continuing to review and read products. Here are timely picks for this month. We tested 32 models of Chromebooks, quality for display, ergonomics, including keyboard design, performance when running a browser, and applications, battery life, and more. The median score was 69, the range was 62 to 87. Excellent but pricey. The Acer Chromebook Spin 713 for $530, scored an 86. The top-notch display was the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook 2 at $550, scored a 79. The bargain buy, the Acer Chromebook 314 at $230, scored a 77, which is pretty good. Double oven ranges. We tested 7 electric models for how evenly the oven bakes cookies and cakes, how quickly the stovetop can bring a large pot of water to a near boil, oven capacity, and more. The median score was 80, ranges from 72 to 83. Converse from a single to a double oven, the Samsung NE63, $2,600, scored an 83. Induction stovetop, KitchenAid, KFID 500, $3,000, 73. And nice price, GE JBS 86 for $1,220, scored a 72. What are the benefits and drawbacks of a double oven range? Double oven ranges usually pair a smaller top oven with a larger oven below. It's a handy combo when you need to cook two dishes at once, but at different temperatures. The double oven ranges can be less pricey than double wall ovens. They are often more expensive than single oven range, says CR Marker analyst Antonio Pamilla. Before you buy one, check it out at the store. The lower oven is usually close to the floor, so you need to see how comfortable you are crouching down to use it. Make sure the controls are easy to use as well. Keep in mind that you won't have a storage or warming drawer, in which most single oven ranges feature. Low-cost ellipticals. 7 models, ease of operation, variety of setting, including heart rate features, user safety mechanisms, and sturdiness, and more. The median was 63. The range was 47 to 74. The 74 was the best overall, was a Schrend 470 at $1,000. A 71 for a score was excellent heart rate features, was a Nautilus D616 at $1,100. Budget friendly, but no heart rate features, the Arajans Fixus X59 at $650, and it scored a 63. Porcelain tire flooring. Five products were tested for resistance to stains from ink, bleach, and shoe polish, resistance to abrasions and dents from foot traffic, resistance to ultraviolet exposure, and more. Median was 92, range was 72 to 93. Top pick and durable, the LifeProof Shadow Wood from Home Depot at $2 per square foot, scored a 93. Super resisting stains, the Style Selection National Timber Ash at Lowe's at $4 a square foot, scored a 92. And the bargain buy was Marazzi Montagna Dapple Gray at Home Depot, $1.50 per square foot, scored a 92, which is not shabby. CR's best mirrorless cameras. We tested 47 models, the photo for photo video quality, ease of use, including settings, battery life, and more. The median was 82, the range was 70 to 92. Best battery life and excellent 4K video quality was the Fujifilm X-E4, $1,050, scored at 87. Swiveling LCD screen for added convenience, the Panasonic Lumix DX G85, scored at 81 for $700. It's easy to carry because it's lightweight. The Canon EOS M200 at $550, scored at 80. Antivirus software. 35 products for the protection against malware attacks, the ability to scan for malware, ease of use, and more. About the scores, for Windows, median was 72, range was 45 to 77. For a Mac, the median was 63, the range was 44 to 69. The best free protection for Windows, the Avast Free Antivirus scored a 77. For best free protection for Mac, the Avast Security for Mac also scored a 69. Extra features and ease of use for Mac, the Kaspersky Internet Security for Macs cost $25, and it scored a 67. Is it okay if I skip the flu shot this year? I'm vaccinated against COVID-19 and work from home. It's not wise to skip the flu shot because COVID-19 vaccines won't protect you from the flu. And health experts are predicting that this year's flu season could be severe, with respiratory virus circulating among others, including SARS-CoV-2, the virus that caused COVID-19. Last winter, with some of the strictest precautions against COVID still in place, transmission levels of the flu were historically low. And as a result, there were far fewer cases than usual. But what this means is that this year, many of us may have a lower level of natural immunity against the flu than in a typical season, says Alette Brammer, MPH, an epidemiologist in the Influenza Division of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This may be more worrisome for children than for adults who have less immunity in general to the flu. The CDC estimates the flu vaccination have averted about 105,000 hospitalizations last year. The best time to get a flu shot is in the fall, so get yours as soon as possible. Obviously, we're no longer in the fall. And for those who haven't had their COVID-19 vaccine yet and those planning to get a booster shot, you can get it at the same time you get your flu shot. That's what I did. Why are car batteries so expensive these days? That's kind of timely considering I just spent a huge hunk of money for a car battery. The increase in prices is partly due to a rise in the cost of materials and labor to make car batteries and the impact of COVID-19 on manufacturing and supply chains. This year, the average price of the batteries you buy and test is $195, up from an average of $106 in 2012. Another reason is that many batteries sold today have newer designs that are more expensive to manufacture. Many of them aren't traditional, lead-acid versus aka flooded batteries. Instead, a number of companies offer batteries that are designed to handle increased electrical demands of newer vehicles, such as stop-start technology, heated seats, and extra power outlets. One of the increasingly popular newer battery designs you might see is called Absorbed Glass Mat, AGM. These batteries use a glass mat separator to move an electrolyte solution between the thin battery plates. This makes AGMs better able to stand up to repeated draining and recharging cycles than traditional lead-acid batteries, and they power our newer cars and electric conversion more easily. The AGM batteries in our rating start around $140, and many of the best models in the $200 to $300 range. This is 40 to 100% more than some of the lead-acid batteries we tested. The added expense of an AGM does bring real benefits to the consumer, says John Galatefiore, CR's Associate Director of Testing, who oversees our test of car batteries. I'm craving a chocolate dessert that won't wreck my diet. Any suggestions? To satisfy your chocolate craving in a healthier way, CR's dietitians whipped up a treat you can feel good about, a 244-calorie chocolate tahini smoothie. It's made with unsweetened cocoa powder, which offers a rich, dense flavor without any added sugars, while boosting antioxidants and fiber. The tahini, a paste made from sesame seeds, provides heart-healthy fats and gives the drink a creamy texture. Our single-serve recipe still contains a good amount of sugars, 31 grams, but those come from a banana and a date and are balanced by a healthy combo of protein, 7 grams, fiber, 9 grams, and fat, 5 grams, which will keep your energy levels stable. To make it, put these ingredients into a blender and process in 2 smooths, a half a cup of unsweetened vanilla soy milk, 2 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa powder, a medjool date, pitted and chopped, a banana, fresh or frozen, and 2 tablespoons of tahini. Once blended, top your smoothie with 1 tablespoon of whipped cream. You can skip the topping if you like, but a tablespoon is only 8 calories, and in less than a gram of fat to the drink. CR's Insight, great new locks. Having a strong lock on your door is one of the best things you can do to protect your home from prowlers. Forcible entry is both attempted and complete, were the entry method used for about 62% of all burglaries in 2019, according to the FBI's Uniform Crime Reporting Program. Smart locks, those you can operate with a smartphone via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, promise easy, secure ways to lock your doors. To help you decide whether one is right for you, our testers kicked, picked, and drilled all types of smart locks, as well as conventional deadbolts, to see how they stand up to common break-in attempts. In those tests, we found that while a smart lock doesn't guarantee you against break-ins than a regular lock does, it can certainly offer you more conveniences. Internet-connected smart locks give you the option of remotely locking and unlocking your doors via your smartphone, which is helpful if you forgot to lock up or if you need to let in contractors or other home helpers when you're not there. Many also offer geofencing, the ability to auto-lock or unlock doors based on your phone's location, time logs of comings and goings, and tamper alarms. You can also get your conventional deadbolt retrofitted with a smart lock, such as the Bosma, which we'll look at in a second, instead of fully replacing your deadbolt. These models usually replace the interior, thumb-turned side of it. This allows you to keep conventional deadbolts and keys on the exterior, while gaining smart features such as remote control and auto-locking when you want them, an ideal setup for renters. But a retrofit lock is only as good as the deadbolt it works with, so you should pair it with a strong one, such as the Abbey model above. And they have a picture here of the Bosma Aegis Smart Lock, $120, scored a 98. The Abbey Protec 2 scored a 96, combined a retrofit smart lock, such as the Bosma, shown at far left, with a compatible conventional deadbolt that holds up well in our break-in test, such as the one we just talked about. High-security standalone conventional locks, the Medco Maximus cost $190, and that scored 96. An excellent Wi-Fi cable smart lock, UFI Smart Lock Touch at $260, scored an 85. Healthier food breakfasts. Fast food menus are crowded with hefty breakfast sandwiches and sugary donuts, make it no easy feat to navigate past them to find a healthier choice. Ideally, your breakfast should have some whole grains, fruit, or vegetables, or all three, says Amy Keating, registered dietitian and nutritionist at CR. That means scanning for simpler egg dishes, sandwiches, or whole grain breads, or oatmeal and yogurt options with fresh fruit toppings. Aiming for 500 calories or less is a good goal for most diets, too, Keating says. Of course, it's hard to compare nutrition counts or ingredients when you're in a hurry, so CR refereed 3 popular chain menus to find tasty choices that help you start your AM in a healthier way. At Dunkin' Donuts, veggie egg white omelet on a multi-grain thin, the avocado toast, or the multi-grain bagel with cream cheese, all scored fairly high. Panera Bread, the steel-cut oatmeal with strawberries, pecans, and cinnamon crust toppings. At the avocado egg white and spinach sandwich, or Greek yogurt with mixed berries parfait. And at Starbucks, a kale and portobello mushroom sous vide egg bites with a banana, petite vanilla bean scone, Siggy's non-fat vanilla yogurt, eggs and cheddar protein box. Time Traveler Top Picks. 1937. Our first test of washing machines, the Watermatic 9950, is the best of 15 models for its superior washing and rinsing. In 1945, a new innovation in drip coffee pots, the Chemex, reached first place among the 19 coffee makers we tested, CR says. In 1952, our first dishwasher test revealed two top picks, a hot point and a KitchenAid with excellent cleaning and drying. In 1960, we test new refrigerators that can defrost themselves, and a Frigidaire available in multiple colors takes the top spot. In 1977, our test of 25 extra bites, the Schwinn Deluxe clearly led the field by a wide margin, we say. It is also a CR Best Buy. And actually, it's pretty crude looking. 1989. Sales of laptops are growing, so we test 8 models. This Toshiba tops our ratings for being lightweight, and that's in parentheses, by the way, with a superior screen. You would not believe what this thing looks like. 1993, our first test of cell phones include tightening models. The AudioBox MVX500 raced best for overall performance and cell coverage. 1999, a 34-inch Sony is the best in the high-defin HD TVs we test. We say it's stunning with excellent picture and sound quality, and I actually owned one of those, and the darn thing weighed a ton. 2013, our test of new robotic vacuums. The iRobot Roomba 760 is the only model to suck up every crumb we throw it on our test carpet. 2015, we tested the AW Tesla model SB850 gets a higher rating than we've ever awarded to a car before earning a perfect score of 100. And then our 2021, our editors compiled 21's top picks, including the mattress, which has topped our Innerspring mattress for 3 years running. It's the Avocado Green at 1500, and it scored an 85. Get a free TV with an indoor antenna. An indoor antenna, TV antenna, which connects to the antenna RF input on your TV, can give you access to free over-the-air television. Indoor antennas are easy to put up. Many simply stick to a wall. But proficient one for optimal reception is crucial to maximizing the number of channels you'll get. New digital TV antennas can bring in TV stations such as ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, PBS, and Telemundo. Here are experts concern how to ensure your antenna gets all the stations available to you. Scout for reception. In our test, reception depended mainly on your antenna's distance from your local broadcast towers and TV transmitters, which send out TV signals, as well as anything in between, like the terrain, nearby trees, buildings, etc. Though you can't change your local geography, you can find out where the local broadcast towers are in your area. Visit the Federal Communications Commission's DTV antenna map, then click on the station's call letters to see where the signals are coming from. You'll also be able to determine how many stations you should be able to pull in with an antenna and their relative signal strength. If the signal looks weak, look for an amplified model that helps boost signal strength. You may also need to try several antennas to see which one works best for your home's location. So prioritize retailers with a no-hassle return policy. Place it as high as you can. Performance is often best when the antenna is high up on a wall or shelf. Try a few spots in the room where your TV is, such as along the wall, near the ceiling, preferably on or by a window. If you have an attic, consider placing the antenna there and running a long cable down to the TV. It's also handy to have an extra length of RG6 coaxial cable and a female-to-female coax cable joiner so that you can freely move the antenna around, says CR Tech editor Jim Wilcox. And painter's tape is useful to temporarily attach the antennas as you scout. Each time you move the antenna, run a channel scan on your TV to see which spots pulls up the most stations. Check CR's band rankings. Today's antenna can find local channels on VHF band 2 through 13 and the UHF bands 14 through 51. In our test, we note the percentage of stations a model receives on each band. Some of the best we tried received 80-90% stations on UHF and 50% on VHF. The top antennas we tested is the Weingar Flatwave, and it was $60, and it received 80% of the stations. The Weingard Flatwave Amped Pro T300. By the way, these look like almost like pizza paper you tape on the wall, and that received 80%. And the Clearscreen Eclipse Amplified TV antenna, which is a big circle at $60, received 80%. By the way, the Flatwave Amped Pro was $110. Pack your car safely this season. Transferring gifts or more over the holidays, keep these safety tips in mind as you load up your vehicle. Stack your cargo correctly. In all vehicles and SUVs in particular, the heaviest items should be placed in the middle of the vehicle. This helps keep the center of gravity lower, reducing the likelihood of a rollover. Too much weight far back can reduce the weight over the front wheels, affecting your ability to steer or brake. Try to fit soft double bags in the back seat area. Don't pile loose items on top of luggage in an SUV trunk. They block your view and can fly around with a sudden stop. Pack them into a larger bag below the headrest height. Check the driver's door jamb. This is where you'll find a place card with your vehicle's weight capacity. If your car is filled with both people and their luggage, you might be surprised by how easily you'll surpass that number. Several adults can consume much of the weight capacity for many vehicles before even factoring in luggage. If your cargo weighs more than your vehicle can safely manage, it can have an impact on your car's handling and steering. Before you set off, check that you have adequate tire pressure. And let's close out with a little humor in uniform. During ROTC, I reported to Fort Bragg in North Carolina for the summer training program. Trainees were handed piles of paperwork in order to fill in the blanks, beginning with our first and last names. Before I could start, I needed to clarify something with the sergeant in charge. "My first name is John," I explained, "but I prefer to be called by my middle name, Fred." He replied, "Well, we'll keep that in mind, John. That summer I learned to do everything the Army way. J. Fred Riley, Elizabeth City." The technician taking my blood at the military medical clinic was very chipper, explaining, "I leave the service in 2 months." As he applied the tourniquet around my arm, he assured me that the procedure wouldn't hurt much, and then asked what my husband did in the service. "He's a recruiter," I said. "Hmm," he said wryly, "this might hurt a little more than I thought it was going to." One of my first graders lost his mom 2 years ago, as did I. On Wednesday, he gives me a handwritten card saying both of our moms are angels together. Through tears, I tell him I'm having trouble reading it. He says, "Just sound it out." And a couple more quotable quotes. "A gift, be it a present, a kind word, or a jar done with great care and love, explains itself." I love to travel, to go to the theater, eat at restaurants, and hug friends. But after this past year, I know for sure it's okay, really okay, to be quiet sometimes. Angela Bassett. My friend just named her chicken after me. I do not need a MacArthur or a Pulitzer anymore, do I? And with those masterful words, we have run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so very much for listening.